morning. Hope everybody's having a great day so far. Had a great week. It is early, so if you're already having a bad day, I'm sorry. I hope it gets better. My name is Andy Driscoll, and I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint Church, and I'm so glad that you chose this place, this congregation, this beautiful group of people to come and worship with this morning and to do life together. So we're so thankful to have you here at LifePoint. Is your place of worship this morning. So today, we are starting a brand new message series called More Than a Name. And in this series, what we're going to do is we're going to spend the next several weeks, and we're going to be looking at some of the different names for God that we find throughout Scripture. And in doing so, I'm hoping by the end of this series that you will have a better and deeper connection with God, that you will more clearly and truly understand his character, his heart, his presence, and his love for you. I really, really pray that God will use this series in your life over the next few weeks. And as we begin this conversation today, it's important to know, as we begin this, to understand that the Hebrews, how they approached names. Okay, so when they thought of names and when they were thinking of naming their child, they didn't do a lot of times like what we do. They didn't have like some baby name book that they went through and picked a name that sounded good that they liked. They didn't name their kid after, you know, a family member or their favorite literary character or somebody famous or just some crazy name just to be different or weird. They didn't do that. Names were incredibly important to them. So a lot of times what they did was they would name their child a name that meant something. Integrity, purity, power, warrior, blessed. Almost in a prophetic way, they would name them that, hoping and praying that they would eventually grow into that. Names were very, very important to them. So important that if maybe as they named their child and as their child got older, if maybe they were doing something great or they were on a different trajectory that was just different, they would actually rename their child to fit the direction they were going, to reflect who they were. Names are incredibly important to them. To the Hebrews, it was important. And so as we have that foundation and knowing that, and we begin this series, we want to start looking, like I said, at the different names of God that we find in Scripture. And in this opening week, in week one, we're going to look at the name Jehovah Roi. Jehovah Roi. And this is so much more than just a name. If you're taking notes, Jehovah Roi means the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And we see just a glimpse of how good and loving this shepherd is. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11 tells us this. It says, "He, the Lord, tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart." He carries them close to his heart. He carries them. He gathers them up. He loves his lambs, his sheep. And then in the New Testament, John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." He says, "I'm the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. There's no greater love than that. That he lays down his life for his sheep. He's the good shepherd. He loves us. He carries us in his arms. And he's willing to lay his life down for us. Jehovah Roi. He's the good shepherd. So if the Lord is our shepherd, what does that make us? Right, we're his sheep. Psalms 100 verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his." It says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We are his sheep. And this morning, I want you to understand, I want you to walk away from this truly understanding how much God, the good shepherd, loves and cares for his sheep. He loves you so much. He loves you so much that he became one of us in Jesus, known as the Lamb of God, to die for us, shed his blood for us, take away the sin of the world so that we could be made right with God. That's how much he loves you. As the good shepherd, he loves you so much that he would leave the 99 for the one. Just for the one. That's how much he loves you. He loves you so much that he's willing to lay his life down for you. And did. That's how much the good shepherd loves and cares for you. He's the good shepherd. Now we are his sheep. Sometimes I don't like being referred to as a sheep because if you really think about it, we're a lot like sheep sometimes. A lot like sheep. For instance, sheep are actually pretty stupid. They really are. I mean, they are not the smartest creatures. For instance, they are known to, they if given the opportunity, they'll actually eat themselves to death. Right? They will just, if they have enough food in front of them, they'll just eat and eat and eat and eat until they die. Right? That's not very smart. But when I think about people, I've been to some all-you-can-eat buffets before where I got a little nervous. You know what I mean? Not only were they kind of stupid in that way, but they also will wander off alone, just randomly. They'll just start wandering. They'll wander off alone. We're known to do that, right? They'll wander off sometimes, and then they might actually get themselves stuck somewhere. Like, they get wedged in between a rock or something. And what do? They just keep going forward, right? They just move forward and forward, and they get themselves even more stuck than they were because they don't know how to back out. They don't know how to back out. They just keep going forward. And again, like sheep, many times in our own stubbornness, we do the same thing. We get ourselves into a mess, and instead of course correcting, we just keep diving further and further into that mess. Sometimes we're like sheep, not in a good way, right? Sheep are also extremely fearful, and so are we at times. They're very fearful. They're actually, they may actually get so spooked or scared about something that they'll just take off running. You know, they've ran off cliffs before or run head first straight into a wall because they're freaked out and they're scared, and so they just panic. They scatter, bam, into a wall or off a cliff. All because of fear. Fear leads them to do irrational things. Again, we're known to do the same. Sheep are very vulnerable. They're very vulnerable creatures. They're vulnerable to things like parasites or storms, coyotes, bears, all sorts of other animals that want to take them out. They're vulnerable. And again, so are we. We can be very vulnerable at times. Like sheep, we're stupid, fearful, and vulnerable. You see, sheep don't do well on their own. That's why they need the shepherd to watch over them, to guide them, to lead them, to keep them safe. And we're the same way. We need that shepherd. And thankfully, God is that shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Roi. We have that. We have that guide. We have that person that's watching out for us and loving us. That's willing to lay his life down for us. To keep us from running off a cliff somewhere. The good shepherd. He loves and cares for you. And see, now when I was growing up, I grew up in a school, in a church environment that was hyper-focused on the wrath and judgment of God. So much so that I grew up just incredibly fearful. Not in a reverent way, like having this reverence of God, but I was terrified that if I made the wrong decision or I made the wrong step or that if I sinned, that God was just waiting to punish me, to cast down his wrath on me. And I had this terrible, unhealthy view of who God really was. I lived in fear because of that. Not a healthy fear. Because I didn't have a true biblical view of who God was. I didn't know God as Jehovah Roi, as the good shepherd who holds me close to his heart, who protects me. I didn't know that. I didn't understand that. And then once I finally did, it transformed my life and relationship with him. I had this sense of hope and peace and freedom and love in his arms. It's the good shepherd. And that's my hope and prayer, is that you are in that same place, that you have that same view of who God is as your shepherd. So today I want to check out three biblical thoughts, biblical truths about Jehovah Roi, about God as the good shepherd. And the first one is this, that Jehovah Roi, the good shepherd, cares for you with his provision. He cares for you with his provision. Psalms 23, right? Many of us know Psalms 23. So Psalms 23, 1 says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Right? The New Living Translation states it like this, the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. He cares for you with his provision. Now, some of you may be like me at times throughout my life where I've wrongly searched for happiness and peace and security in all the wrong areas. I've searched for happiness in material possessions, right? Like that's going to somehow make things better. You know, so we focus on that this is going to make me happy. And in reality, it has never brought forth that result alone. There's never been a material possession that has done that. Maybe short-term happiness, but not true happiness. You know, if I could only have that new car, I'd be happy, right? If I had the iPhone X already pre-ordered, I'd be happy. If I had those AP2 Titleist irons, which hardly anybody knows what I'm talking about in that, but that would make me very happy. But see, those material things don't bring true happiness. Someone over there is like, what the heck is an AP2 Titleist iron? It's the golf club. Don't worry about it. It's okay. But those things don't bring true happiness. You know, when you really think about it, many of those things that if we made a list of the maybe material things that we feel like would make us happy, 10 years ago, those things probably didn't even exist. And 1 to 2 years from now, they're going to be irrelevant. So how could something like that bring true happiness? It can't. We're searching for happiness in material things, and it always ends in disappointment. Same thing with security. This is a struggle for me at times. I look for security in material things, in all the wrong areas, right? Like, man, if I could just pay off this debt and to get rid of this student loan debt, then things would be great. I would have security. I'd have peace. You know, if my bank account was at this number as opposed to this number, then I'd have security. If my investments were moving in the right direction, or if I had my life insurance all set up the way it needs to be, and my medical insurance, and all these things were together, then I would be secure, be happy. But we're looking at that in the wrong places. You see, when David wrote this in Psalms 23:1, he didn't have insurance, right? He didn't have some retirement plan that was just rocking. I mean, he didn't. He didn't have, you know, long-term care insurance or whatever. He said, Jehovah Roi, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need because he's my shepherd, because he has my back. Therefore, I'm provided for. When you understand that God is your shepherd, all of a sudden you find happiness and security in him and him alone. That's where that true security comes. That's where that true happiness is birthed. That from the good shepherd, we have absolutely everything that we need. Not necessarily everything that we want, but everything that we truly need. Paul tells us this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. He says, and may God, my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. He'll meet all of your needs. Not just some of them, all of your needs. My God will meet all your needs. The good shepherd will meet all of your needs because he cares for you. He cares for you with his provision. He's got you. He's going to make sure that you're good. He cares for you with his provision. The second biblical truth that we see is that Jehovah Roi, the good shepherd, calms you with his peace. He calms you with his peace. Now, let's be real this morning. How many of you would say that right now, currently, you have some stress in your life, right? Whether it's a little bit of stress, a lot of stress, but you just have some stress in your life. Go ahead and put them back up here. Hold them up here. Be bold, right? That's right. We all do. I mean, I think about it for me, I've got quite a bit of stress in my life right now between work, church, family. My schedule's all kinds of crazy. Holidays are coming up. That brings a whole new level of stress and chaos and all of those things. So the reality and the presence of stress in our life is a very, very real thing. But check out what Scripture has to say in Psalms 23, verses 2 and 3. As we read on in Psalms 23, it says, "The good shepherd, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." When you think about that as a sheep here, you know, he makes a sheep lie down in green pastures, drinks from still waters, restores his soul. That doesn't sound like stress to me. See, what's interesting about sheep is I was watching, doing some good research on YouTube. right? I know. But about a shepherd talking about how to make a sheep actually lie down. See, sheep really don't like to lay down. Well, let me say that. Maybe they like to lay down, but they're afraid to lay down. It's tough to make a sheep lie down. I don't know if you know, most of you probably don't have a lot of experience with sheep, but I don't know if you've had a dog and you've tried to make a big dog lay down before and they don't want to lay down. You're probably going to lose. It doesn't go well. It's tough to make them lay down. But what we find is that if a sheep is relaxed, stress-free, taken care of, it loves to lay down, and it will lay down. But first, it has to be well-fed. Right? Has to be taken care of. Its needs have to be met. And remember, the Good Shepherd provides for us, meets all of our needs. Sheep also needs to have some water, needs to drink before it can lie down. And it's important that it's by still waters, because again, sheep they get spooked easy, right? They're very fearful, so they won't go drink from a running stream, from a running water source. So it has to be still for them to go get a drink so they can be relaxed enough to lay down in those green pastures. The other thing that we see is that sheep won't lie down if there's relational tension amongst the group. See, with sheep, they're kind of like there's this pecking order. They're always trying to figure out who's the biggest and the baddest and the toughest, you know, and they'll run and they'll butt heads and do all that crazy stuff. And they won't lay down until there's the relational tension is resolved. And the presence of the Good Shepherd can calm that. It brings restoration to that relationship. It restores their soul. It brings about rest so that they can actually lie down. So for those of you today, which I venture to say based off the hands, it's pretty much all of us. If you find yourself stressed out, again, whether it's relational stress, financial stress, work stress, schedule stress, family stress, whatever it may be, understand that the presence of the Good Shepherd alone can bring about calm and peace in your life. He brings peace into your life. He makes you lie down in green pastures. It's not a forceful thing. It's because he meets your needs and he loves you and he brings that calm so that you feel comfortable and safe to lie down. If you're overwhelmed in your life right now, do what Scripture says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything." I mean, that's a tough start right there. That's a tough start because there's a lot of things in our life that creates anxiety and tension. But it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The sheep can lie down because the Good Shepherd is standing guard. And he provides for everything that we need. So we have that calm in our spirit because of the Good Shepherd and because of the Good Shepherd alone. So we know that Jehovah Roi, the Good Shepherd, he cares for us with his provision. He meets all of our needs. He calms us with his peace. Helps us to lie down in those green pastures. We feel safe and secure. And then finally, for those of you that are hurting today, please understand that Jehovah Roi, the Good Shepherd, comforts you with his presence. He comforts you with his presence. I don't know what pain you have going on in your life right now. Maybe you've recently experienced the loss of a loved one, someone that you were super close to, and your heart is just heavy and weighed down by that. Maybe there's some relational tension in your life, whether it be that you've had a big falling out with a friend, or maybe you were married this time last year, and now you're headed for divorce, and you're thinking about the holidays coming up, and you're not going to be with them, and there's just a lot of pain in that. Or maybe you're just facing some very difficult things in your life, some extreme circumstances, some things that have popped up, and man, you're fighting tooth and nail. Just keep your head above water. You're in a lot of pain and it hurts. You're struggling. You need some comfort. Understand that there is a beautiful sense of comfort in the presence of God. He comforts us. He brings that to us through his very presence alone. Again, back to Psalms 23, verse 4. Reminds us of this truth when it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. That's why. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil simply because you are with me. Because you got my back, because I'm not alone. Because you're with me. And he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's because of his presence, because he's with you. His presence brings about this beautiful comfort in your life. Plus, it doesn't hurt that the shepherd has a rod and a staff to throw down if need be. All right? See, the shepherd, the rod was like this 2-foot-long like stick that he trained with. Since being a young kid, and he could throw that sucker and just bust whoever in the dome piece that was coming to try to get the sheep, right? I mean, they could just throw down so they could protect the sheep. And then they had the staff, which was this long stick, had a hook on the end, kind of like a big candy cane or whatever it may be, and he could use that to scare off other animals or to redirect the sheep to keep them safe. Keep them out of harm's way, keep them from wandering off, or if one of them was in trouble, since they're not backing out, they're going further into getting stuck, he could pop that around their neck and pull them out. Right? He used these the rod and the staff to help keep them safe. So his presence. See, without his presence, he couldn't use the rod or the staff. His presence is critical. And it brings about peace. It brings about comfort. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because he's with me. Doesn't matter what I'm facing in my life. Sure, it's going to hurt. Sure, it's not going to be easy. Sure, you might have a long road ahead of you. But because God is with me, because he's the good shepherd, we'll fear no evil because he's with me. His very presence brings about comfort. And then in the conclusion of Psalms 23, verse 5 and 6, it says, the good shepherd, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, he anoints my head with oil. He anoints it with oil. And if you remember earlier, we talked about how vulnerable sheep are, right? And one of the things they were vulnerable to was parasites. So what's interesting is this whole piece of anointing the head with oil, that what would happen with the sheep was that they would have these bugs, right? That would fly around, buzz around their head, and they would actually, like, something kind of gross, but they fly into their ears or into their nose, and it would lay eggs. And then the larva would, hatch and be all around in their brain and buzzing around, and it would torment them. I mean, I don't, that would torment, obviously, any of us. That would not be fun. I don't want a larva going around in my brain. But they had that. And so what they would do, again, they would run their heads into walls just trying to get a sense of peace to get that out because they couldn't stop it. and it would drive them crazy to the point that either they would get seriously injured or sometimes that even it led to death because they keep banging their head against this wall trying to get rid of that buzz and what's going on in their head, like the buzz that seems to be going on in the speaker. But they would do that. So what the good shepherd would do is he would anoint their head with oil. He'd put oil on their head that would act kind of as this insect repellent, right? To keep the bugs away. He did that to take care of them. He had their back. And then it says that your cup will overflow. And this is rich in meaning, right? Because we know that not only will we overflow with his presence and with his goodness, but see, the shepherds during this time period, they would understand what that meant, that if they went over to someone's house and they were, you know, invited over for a meal or whatever, they would, if they were trying to figure out how long they could stay before they had kind of wore out their welcome, they would just pay attention to their cup, right? So if they kept getting a refill on their drink, they knew that they were welcome to continue to stay. But at the point that refill stopped, no more refill, that's your sign, hey, time to go, time to roll out. So with that in mind, how long are we allowed to stay in the presence of the Good Shepherd? Well, as long as your cup is full. And in this case, since our cup is overflowing, that means I can dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever, because my cup constantly is overflowing. Always full. Not because of anything that I've done, but because of the presence of the Good Shepherd. Because he loves us that much. Jehovah Roi, the Good Shepherd, he cares for you with his provision, right? He calms you with his peace, and he comforts you with his presence. So my question for you this morning is, do you know the Good Shepherd? Do you truly know the Good Shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? Not know about him, not just know some things to say, have a head knowledge of him, but that heart knowledge. Do you know the Good Shepherd? I love this story that I read about some auditions for a Broadway play, and they were auditioning for the part of a minister, and there were two people that were auditioning. One was a famous actor, and he was auditioning, and the other was this 70-year-old retired minister who had zero acting experience, and he was auditioning as well. And the audition piece was to read the 23rd Psalm. And so the famous actor, man, he gets up and he reads it to perfection. I mean, he's a professional, right? Smooth delivery, could pause right in the spots he's supposed to pause, bring the emphasis where it needed to be. He knocked it out of the park. I mean, everyone afterwards was like, man, that dude is good. There's a reason that he's a famous actor. He knocked it out of the park. Then that 70-year-old minister got up there and he starts to read the psalm, and he's nervous as could be. I mean, again, he has zero acting experience, and he's nervous, and he starts kind of fumbling over his words a little bit, and his voice starts to quiver, and after the first verse, he starts to really struggle, and he begins to cry, begins to weep as he's reading this. He's just overcome, not with nerves, but with the presence of the Good Shepherd, of the one who gave his life for him, the one that died for him. He's overcome with that, believing that this moment was a moment that God had led him to. And he was overcome with it. And the end result was that this retired minister actually got the part, because when he finished, there wasn't a dry eye in the place, because it was powerful. And when that news got out, it broke, a reporter talked to the famous actor, and he's like, man, how could you get beaten out for this position by some guy? Right? Some retired minister who has zero acting experience. Like, how did you get beat out by him? And he was like, you know what? If you were there, you would understand. He said, see, because I know the psalm, I could read it, but that minister, he knew the shepherd. And that made all the difference. There's a difference in knowing the psalm, knowing the words, versus actually knowing the Good Shepherd. Knowing Jehovah Roi, knowing him, having that intimate relationship with him. Psalms 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Doesn't say the Lord is the shepherd. It's personal. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. It sets the tone for that entire passage. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a personal relationship. So again, my question today is, do you know the psalm? Or do you know the good shepherd? Let's pray. God, we thank you again. Lord, we thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that you truly are the good shepherd. Jehovah Roi, our protector. The one who brings about peace. The one who provides for us. The one who comforts us with your presence. God, we are so thankful for those things, those truths, Father. And may we rest in those things. May we truly know you as the shepherd. As we continue in prayer this morning, maybe you're here today and you would say, you know what, I've heard the psalm. I know about God. I've come to church a time or two. But man, I don't really, truly know the shepherd. I know about him, but I don't personally, intimately know him. I've never stepped over that line of faith and accepted him as my Savior. And if that's you, maybe today's that day. For whatever reason, you've put that off, or you've kind of kept got it arm's reach and at a distance. And today, break down that barrier. Break down that wall and just run into the arms of God, into the arms of the good shepherd. Man, he wants to hold you. He wants to carry you. He wants to hold you close to his heart. He loves you. He lays his life down for you. And scripture says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God rose him from the dead, that you will be saved, that you'll be eternally connected to him. It's not a prayer. It's not some words to say. It's a heart belief. It's a heart connection to the Father, to the good shepherd. And if that's you today, just call out to God however he leads you. Confess and believe. You call out to God and you do business with him. Embrace him as the shepherd. Embrace him as your Lord. Embrace him as your Savior. He died and rose again for you so that you can be made right with him, and it's the only way to the Father. So you call out to God as he leads.
I made you promises a thousand times. I tried to hear from heaven, but I talk the whole time. I think I made you too small. I never feared you at all, no. If you touch my face, would I know you? Looked into my eyes, would I behold you? What do I know of you? Who spoke me into motion? And where have I even stood but the shores along your ocean? Are you fire? Are you fury? Are you sacred? Are you beautiful? So what do I know? What do I know of holy? I guess I thought that I had figured you out. I knew all the stories, and I learned to talk about how you were mighty to save. those were only empty words on a page. And then I caught a glimpse of who you might be. The slightest hint of you brought me down to my knees. So what do I know of you, who spoke me into motion? And where have I even stood but the shores along your ocean? Are you fire? Are you fury? Are you sacred? Are you beautiful? So what do I know? What do I know of holy? What do I know of holy? What do I know of wounds that can heal my shame? And a God who gave life its name. What do I know of holy? Of the one who the angels praise. All creation knows your name. What do I know of this love? And what do I know of you, who spoke me into motion? And where have I even stood but the shores along your ocean? Are you fire? Are you fury? Are you sacred? Are you beautiful? What do I know? What do I know of holy? What do I know of holy? What do I know of holy?
Sweet. As we continue with our worship, this time with our tithes and our offerings, the ushers will go ahead and come forward. Here at Life Point Church, there's a few different ways that you can give. You can give when the basket passes here in a second, or you can go online on our website, top right-hand corner is an online giving button. You can click that. It's a safe and secure way that you can give. But we encourage you to give, to give back with what it is that God has blessed you with, and he asked you to be faithful in that, and just to give a small portion back. So we encourage you to be faithful in what God has asked and led us to do. So we encourage you to do that today. Also, if this is your first time out, thank you so much for being here and being with us this morning here at Life Point Church. If you could, we ask that you would fill out a connection card. Inside your bulletin, there's a connection card. If you fill that out, you can actually exchange that out in the lobby for a gift from us. It's just a way we say thanks for taking the time to be here and to fill out the card. Or you can pass it off to me. I'll be standing off in the back. You can pass it off to me. That'd be great. Also, if you made any decisions for Christ or have any prayer requests, needs, anything like that, you can do that on the connection card. There's a comment section. You can write that. You can actually drop it in one of the baskets that'll be sitting in the back, or hand it off to one of the leaders here at the church. You can hand it off to me. We'll make sure that we get that. We will pray over those things. We'll get in touch with you if you have questions. Again, it's a connection card, so we want to connect with you. So it'd be great to have you do that. Next week is communion. So we have our communion service the first Sunday of every month. So we're very excited about that. We love our communion services, to be able to come together as a family and to partake of the elements. And so we encourage you to be here for that. It will be a great Sunday. We're excited about that already. Also.